think at the age of 6 or 7, I started playing football on the street of Mushin, Lagos.
In Mushin.
Yeah, Mushin, Diaraba, in between, always, you know, Mushin, in between the Diaraba and Mushin.
Wow.
So around maybe Polo to Tala Taiwo Street, oh, that's where I grew up. So it's a
Wow.
very crazy environment. Where is Ida Hausa and Igbo are fighting today? Where it's like when they start this riot, it's like they're burning somebody in front of you. It's like they're
Jesus.
shooting, you're hearing the bullets on top of your roof. You know, and when it comes to the traditional whatever thing, it's like today won't bodo len you don't go outside, though. You know, this kind of thing, or hello, see, you know, go cut those leaves in front of you. So it's really crazy. I don't know, it's an environment where you have like young boys and girls, like at the age of 14, already into cultists, whatever, like those
Drugs.
giving his, yeah, incisions on their head, they're into drugs. 14-year-old girl, you see them being pregnant, you know, becoming a mother at a very tender age.
Hello guys, how are you doing today? Welcome to another beautiful session of Leadership Podcast with me, Stephen Akintan. Today I have a special, special guest. When I say special, this one is really, really special to me. And it's also special season, right? Because they just won, right? The African Women's Cup of Nations. Ladies and gentlemen, I have Rasheeda Ajibade, aka Rash for Jesus. Rash for
Right,
Christ.
for Christ,
How are
yeah.
you doing?
I'm fine, sir. I'm fine, sir.
Welcome. Good to see
You
you.
know, it's a pleasure. It's an honor. I do not take this privilege for granted, sir. Thank you so much. Thank you for bringing me up on your podcast today.
Wow, it's good to see you, really. I'm so happy the circumstance of our meeting. I mean, you guys won. And you know, people watching this will not understand how both of us feel because we had different sessions into the tournament. I think our last session was maybe a few days
Few days,
before the tournament to
yeah.
start. And you know, we rehearsed this conversation around, you know, you talking about how do we win, about leadership, and to see it come to fruition. How do you feel?
I mean, I feel grateful, I feel excited, I feel blessed, and I'm just, you know, happy overall that as much as we understand the spiritual factors, the prayer part, but also there's a factor of, you know, mentorship, guidance on how to do things and how to make things work. So I'm just grateful because you're a blessing. You're a blessing, sir. You didn't know that.
You're also a blessing. I
You're a
mean,
blessing,
who would
sir.
not be proud that their mentee
You
is the best
know.
player of a whole tournament?
It's to be, sir. Honestly.
So winning also the best player, how do you how to, I know you for you it wasn't about being the best player, it was just about winning the tournament. But that's a cherry on the cake, as they say. How did it feel to also now be the best player of that
Honestly,
tournament?
I feel I'm grateful to God to be going to that tournament. I didn't go with it too ambitious. As you mentioned, you said you knew that I didn't go with the passion of how about me. I went with the passion and the mindset of about we,
The team.
the team. How do we make it work? You know, normally when we're having this meditation,
Your
I never talk
questions.
about myself. How
All the
do I do
questions about
myself?
the team.
So it's always, even if I have to do talk about myself, it has to be how do I help myself to help the team,
That's true.
you know. So it's all about the team. And what I've seen so far, also what I learned also lately, that makes me have that mindset, whereas your needs are met in the place of, well, your own personal needs are met in the place of solving other people's
Very
needs.
true.
So I never had the intention of even winning a man of the match, player of the whatever. My mindset is just, how can you give yourself
True.
to the team? How can you lead the team better? And how can you? So every resources that I think I have within myself, both spiritual and physical, is what I'm just trying to think. I'm like, okay, the physical aspect. How can I, Dr. Stephen, what do we have to do? What can I do? So my last mentorship class is supposed to be something that has to do with me and some other plans we had from the first session. But I'm like, no, this is not necessary right now. Myself will be, I'll be okay. Be fine later. Or first, this is what is at hand. So let's undo it. And how are you are in a place of leadership. You've led, you know, thousands of people and you've, you have quite a number of mentees that you mentor. So how do you do it? And you relate to people. So I understand, okay, both men and women. So you've got a lot of experience. So I'm like, this is a moment for me to take advantage of, not take advantage, I learn from oh, this is my Jesus cup. Very good,
Yes, so let's put it. Now, this is the logo. And we're about to build a business around you. So let's put it strategically.
Yeah. So
we'll tell you more about this later.
For me, I felt like I didn't go there with the mindset of me trying to win anything, but I'm grateful whatever God does. It's all about the team. It's all about the responsibility that is at my show that God has given that opportunity to be, you know, to lead. And the Bible said, the Lord has put the government of the world of his shoulder. So it's all about God. How do we do it? So, and I came to you. You were there. You supported me. And the advice came and we're able to put this together. So when I go to the field, I'm like, we always say it, you have to lead by example.
Yeah.
So it's all about giving your 100% on that pitch as well. So it's not, I might get the knowledge from you, but it's not also enough if I don't also act it on the pitch. So I also have to, you know, give, you know, my, of course, this is my job, it's my career. I had to also make sure that I show up every time that I come to that pitch. So it's also about giving myself sacrifice and doing what I know I can do to help myself and in turn helping the team. And eventually everything just falls in place.
Yeah. And to be honest, one of the things I admire about you, I've said it publicly as well. I did an article when you won and I said, you're one of my favorite mentees because of your hunger. I just admire. I mean, I have never mentored somebody and then they're sending me a book after the session. They've turned the conversation we've had to, you know, how you send me those slides. And I'm like, you know, did we even discuss this much? Tell us about your background, you know, how you grew up. Because I feel something about your background is behind your hunger.
Yeah, thank you so much, Dr. Fox, for that question. I came from a very, you know, kind of background that, I mean, it's decent, but also it's a very rough one, very tough background. And it's, you know, it's football, it's football part.
Yeah.
And of course, my background is my family part.
Yeah.
And
are you the first daughter?
No, I'm not the first daughter of my family. So we are five and number or six. Okay. But one of my mom's son, as I mentioned to you, is missing and can find him. And we are now we're five, so I'm the fourth, second to the last.
Okay.
Charles, I'm the fifth of my dad. So yeah, I'm the fifth child and I have like siblings older than me, three sisters, two sisters and one brother ahead of me. And then I think at the age of six or seven, I started playing football on the street of Mushin, Lagos.
In Mushin?
Yeah, Mushin, Diaraba, in between, always, you know, Mushin, in between Diaraba and Mushin.
Wow.
So around maybe Polo to Taiwo Street, oh, that's where I grew up. So it's a very crazy environment. Where is either Hausa and Igbo are fighting today? Where it's like when they start this riot, it's like they're burning somebody in front of you. Jeez. It's like they're shooting, you're hearing the bullets on top of your roof. You know, and when it comes to the traditional whatever thing, it's like today won't go to Lenny, you don't go outside, you know, this kind of thing, or go cut those sleeves in front of you. So it's really crazy. I don't know, it's an environment where you have like young boys and girls, like at the age of 14, already into courties, whatever, like girls giving incisions on their head, they're into drugs. 14-year-old girl, you see them getting pregnant, you know, becoming a mother at a very tender age. So it's an environment that pollutes a child. I think it's not an healthy environment for any child to grow in. And, you know, you're living in a compound where you have like almost 150 people living in that compound. Yeah. Because it was so big. So everybody were like queuing to go to toilet sometimes. And honestly, people that knows the house knows the house. So it's that kind of environment that I grew up from.
Yeah.
So what was my hunger? Whereas I would say it's God's grace because I knew we're like five in the family and we're quite, everyone have a bunch of different personalities. But looking at my experience, from the house that we, you know, they gave birth to us, where one, we had to do a whole lot of things to survive.
Yeah.
Like, there's no proper meal at home. You don't have proper meal. Like, sometimes if you have to eat like food at home.
I see why we connect.
Yeah. Like, if you have to eat food at home, there's no, you can only make eba, but you have to go and buy stew, soup outside.
Wow.
You have to go and buy kolobe. You know, this kind of. So we have to make gari. You have to buy gari, then you have to buy soup
separately.
Yeah. So then you cannot buy any house soup. You have to buy a wedu so that you can share, and it's a love for all of us to, you know, to eat together. You know, or maybe you have to buy bread. Sometimes we buy bread, normal bread, but sometimes because there's not enough money to feed at home. Then we have to go to like Mushin. There's this Mushin, whatever, somewhere around Mushin, yeah, where they sell banjo bread. So those breads that are few daughters eat bowl. Sorry, I had to speak about something.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so those breads that, you know, that are either sold for like 2-3 days that it's leftovers. So you take it to, or maybe the ones that after they've done it, after making in the bakery and it spills off and they can't
so it's already dry.
Yeah, it's dry or the dirt is on it or something. So they will now go and sell it at a very cheaper price. How come my dad like banjo bread?
Okay.
It's called banjo bread.
It's called banjo
bread. Yeah, so you have to pour it on the floor and then you have to go, strategic timing. If you don't go at that time, you can't get it. So that's 6 a.m.
Wow.
I'm going down there. And I can remember one day my mom sends me to go and buy the bread and I lost the money. Where go? I was crying all through that day because this was so hard to eat in the morning. You know, sometimes you have garri to drink and you just need to leave it. After you have to leave it to school, swell a little bit. You take a little bit and you leave the rest. You go and play ball, come back and drink the remaining one a day. You know, later. So just different experiences we have because my mom used to be very okay, but when we give it to her, they say, we don't know what happened. Everything just went down. But, and my dad was, I wouldn't see him okay because he's a civil servant, but, you know, civil service work and everything. He's also a very bright man, but he's always asthmatic. So it's either one crisis or the other. So when there's crisis, we've borrowed money to go and treat him. So when salary comes, we are using the money to support the whatever. So there's never our own money at home. So, you know, coming up from a family where we've never been to Mr. Biggs before. I can't remember. We've never. So it's even once in a while we had to, maybe festive period or something, that we have to make like, you know, turkey, you know, this kind of chicken, whatever. But there are some days, you know, that God can just shine, grace can just come on us and we just get all of these things. So we've been through a lot, you know. And remembering some of those background that I went through, like, you know, sometimes my mom would just say, okay, today we don't have votes here, but what do? Let's get, there is basic pharmacies in Lama, in Mushin. Mm-hmm. Those places they sell drugs and medicines.
Yeah.
So sometimes we have to get like we have to get like a newspaper.
Yeah.
And we have to make it like, you know, this thing that it puts drugs that you just sell medicines now. They make it like a mini box.
Okay.
So all we just do is buy starch, then we convert it to like a box.
Okay.
We convert the newspaper to like a mini paper box.
Okay.
Where you can just, so we make it like 10, 12 is one dozen. So we just sell for 10 naira. So we make like almost a lot. Then we sell for like 10 naira. Then I just go to that place. I have to hawk, you know. So when my young age, it was tough. Sometimes we sell charcoal. Sometimes I have to go and ok omo and all of that. Wow. You know, growing up, like we got to a point. Sometimes we have to help our plantain and all. You know, this when you see Bishop, we don't go on all of these things. We're just young girls on the street that hugs olive oil during conferences. Is it MFM? Is it Redeem? Wow. During deliverance program, but those young girls out there that is selling olive oil. So, for example, if MFM is having their convention now,
you go there.
Or the Evers program.
Yeah.
Because,
I mean, our story is so similar.
Yeah. So we go there if you have to go there. So, like, maybe if MFM is having their program now, we know what they need. So they will need Zobo to break, all this Kono to break. So we already prepare all of those things now. I'm always there for my mom, like, to always support her to do all of this thing. Because it got to a stage, I was still getting to where my mom is though. So we had to make, you know, Zobo, I would take it down there because we moved from Mushin to that side. So imagine the stress to Prayer City.
Wow.
So Prayer City.
So dim.
No. It depends on where there's program. So if there's program right now in...
Okay.
Because you know, the convention is not the same time.
Yes.
So if Redeem is
doing theirs...
Is MFM is doing that will go. Yes. If Redeem is doing theirs, Redeem is only convention. So they only need olive oil for anointing, whatever. And handkerchief, but we don't sell handkerchief, we sell olive oil. Okay. So we're always there. Even those taxes, we fight a lot on that street. Sometimes they sit by market, I will beg me. Honestly, it's crazy. So we had to hop, you know, buy olive oil. Yeah, when they come, like, just put it there because most of those people that have shop, they don't allow people.
Those who are hawking.
They
are paid for the stand.
They paid for the stand and all. So we first sell. So oil is what we sell. Like, okay, oil is what we start selling from the first 2 days that we arrive. Just be hawking. Okay, so sometimes maybe when my mom just borrow money from Lapo and all of that, we get like 3 packs of oil. In the end, everything is not even more than 20,000 cent or 10,000 cent that we just got hawk, or it's not even up to. So like 10 packs of oil, three packs of oil, because maximum we'll get, because that's all we can afford. So pack like 3 packs, then I'm hawking for like 2-3 days before, because it's 3 days deliverance program. So people will still start praying with the oil from like 2 days. So the third day, then I have to double my ozu from midnight to before the Baba will not, you know, anoint the oil. So then after that, in the morning, the zobo that we've done, I had to go also for ice block, put everything outside for people that want to break again to buy. I said, so everything is still, as because we don't have a stand, we can't pay for that. We just have to, you know, we have to stay with in the space where they give, general buyers. So I went to also redeem camp, redeem conventions too as well. So we also had to, after all those, we go there too as well, but we don't sell zobo and kono and all we just sell there is only olive oil. So during anointing program, people just, you know, just keep, it's competition, sir, because we are plenty. So if you're not very good at marketing, you will not, you can't drive on that street of, you know, hawking. So, and yeah, it was really tough. Wow. So also in, Shiloh. So when it's time for Shiloh as well, so we always go in there. Always going back and forth.
Between what age to what age did you ascend?
So this was between like 12, 13 years old. Yeah, 12, 13. Wow. Yeah. 13, 12, 10, 11, 12, 13, yes. Wow. So that I got with my mom to sell.
And all this while you had started playing football.
Yeah, I'm just playing on the street. I wasn't serious because this one, during this moment, you know, all of these things are, some of these things are seasonal because it's not every day. Yeah. So the other things we do every day is my mom sells, shoes.
Okay.
Like okrika. So we had to like, so sometimes she buy like, she loan, when she gets the loan, she buy it from like a shop, from somebody who goes to buy in bulk, and she buys like, you know, retail from the person. So we, you know, those okrika shoes now, you just have to clean and just put on the floor. We don't also have a stable shop too. There's no shop. So we said, you know, we only sell in Yaba market days on Wednesdays and Monday, Wednesday, Fridays. Then, so what I do is I go with my mom every, when I come back from school, I just go to meet my mom sometimes, like, if I can leave my physical. And I just go to, you know, meet her at the space where she is, because we only use stores. So if you that you don't have shop, so after you're done during the day, just pack your store. So you just pay maybe 100 and up a day to keep your luggage to the next day. And if it doesn't, so sometimes stuff, sometimes there's no market, money lay, all of these things. Even though I would still have to eat. So I was just there to be with my mom because I didn't understand that. I didn't even know why I had that connection. Like, I'm always there with her. So when I finished talking with my mom, in the evening, around 6 p.m. or 7 p.m., because that side is always there. I have to go with this. And the person who sells to my mom is an Igbo man and is a very nice man. So the man has also somebody who sells for him at Ojuri. Yaba, that time when the journey is still there. So if that guy is not around, I will tell him I will sell. So and I'll go. So he will just tell me, okay, this is 300 pieces of shoes. Wow. So this is what I sell. This is my own. So just if you sell one, you get 20 naira or 15 naira on issues. So you're standing for like another 3 hours there to start selling. And sometimes when I sell, I make like 1,000 or 2,000 naira on extra, like on this, because. But, you know, in the end, my back pain, my head, I don't care. But I'll buy pasta more. I just, you know, be fine. So, that's why that expensive. But I just, what just kept me going was, I'm not happy with this situation. And something needs to change.
Yeah, and we can't continue.
We can't continue like that. My mom also, you know, I really wanted something good for her because she's been shouldering a lot of responsibilities in family because of my dad's sickness. And the one is just very strong. The one is when my dad died when we were like almost 12 or 13 years old.
Wow.
Yeah. So she's always been there. So, I mean, these are just little of the things I can remember when it comes to hustling. You know, there's that we have to be, you have to also sell for, you know, go for a charge card business and all of that. So what now change? And when it comes to also our academics, there was no seriousness around our academics because our parents didn't even have that time to say,
true.
When you come back from school, let's look at your book. It's also about survival for us at that point. But, I mean, I got to GSS3, something changed. There's a principal that they brought, vice principal that brought to our school, and she was like, you know, I mean, then, before that time, either we were like 120 students in class, I'll be like 75 or 80 something position. I'll be like, those people that are behind me, I'm better now. You know, that kind of, like, I'm a good student. So it was really, so for me, I didn't see the end because nobody was pushing us to say, go and study, go and do this. But it's just, I could read, I could write. I mean, that was good for me when I was coming out. Then a vice principal came, one of the JS3, so she was just threatening everybody that you guys will fail, JS3 students, you will fail if you don't start to read. Or if you don't, because normally it's supposed to be like automatic
yes.
promotion to it's SS1 and all.
Yeah.
So I told, I'm afraid to fail because my class then, we have like other boys and girls that have failed and repeated. And I'm like, no, I don't want that kind of. Mm-hmm. So that now, like, them
that was
the year. That was me.
What
study.
Age was this?
I think JS3, I should be around, I can't remember, like maybe, I should be around maybe 13 okay. years old. Okay. I can't, yeah, I should be around that. Sure. Yeah, 12, 13 years old.
Okay.
So, yeah, and yeah, so when all of those things happened, I'm just trying to process. Maybe you have to cut some things because it the whole thing. So, yeah, so when I went back home, I'm like, I don't want to feel, this is why I'm saying the truth, because she's a vice president. She's just going to, I started studying. I will not, because my parents could not afford me go for extra lessons and everything. So I started reading by myself. So when we got to JS3, whatever, even when I had to, I was employed by somebody again to start doing like a sell recharge card business. I get like 33,000 Naira monthly. So I would sit there, I'm studying, trying to read my book because I don't want to pass my, I don't want to fail my exam. So over time, again, you know, when any little opportunity that I have, I just tried to see if I could go to lesson, just any money that I make from the Jatka business when I leave a little at home, the small money, you know, the lesson is no more than 300, 700 Naira. Then I just go. Then also I started doing roller skating as well. And the little money I also get from roller skating, or just using it for, you know, to help me and my mom, you know, because my mom get to, when we take loans, and you know, this lab loan, I don't know what they put in those loans. You can never pay this money back. I always pay on that dearest. So we just had to, you know, sort a whole lot of things. So that thing just keep ringing in my head. Like, I can't just... And we started playing football outside when I got to it. Because I got to its stage. Because when my mom sells in Monday, Wednesday, and Friday mm-hmm. in Yaba. So we had to go on Tuesday to Aswani.
Wow.
So we sell on Tuesday in Aswani. It's like, that one is for sure. So sometimes on Tuesday, maybe after 7, if we don't have whatever, I have to get people to carry their load also to get, you know, small money. And just had to... what we have. So, but for me, one, it was just like, no, I would just have to do something. One, yeah. to support my mom, and one, to just, you know, be that helping hands around her,
yeah.
to just see how we can make things work. Mm-hmm. So, I think when I got to, then I started playing, when I got serious with, before I got serious with football, my mom was like, Rash, you're very good at football. But if she supports me a lot. The mm-hmm. first place my mom even took me it was National Stadium.
Wow.
Yeah, so I was started riding bicycle and all of that. So she was like, that was the first, you know, exciting thing that my mom did for me. And I'm so, I mean, we didn't go to amusement park. We never went to all of this. But, I mean, we went to church. I went to stadium. So that one was great for me. So my mom was like, Rash, now that, you know, you're doing well in football, because one of my sister's friend introduced me to a club and they saw the way I was playing and everything. She said, I think I had to let you go because I shouldn't use my own business to hold you down. Yeah. In the end, this business is like, it's profitable. It's just like, we're just surviving.
Yeah.
But just go. Because my mom also is very, she believes in talent and everything. Okay. So she said, just go, because I know that you're very resourceful and you're very helpful, but we'll survive. But as I left also, that also had a turn on our business and everything. But I just mentioned, okay, whatever I could do just to, you know, support, I would always do that. So I started playing football fully, and it's still a bit tough because I was playing a team where it's just an individual sponsor team. So, and they play on the league, and it's a struggle.
Yeah.
To play, to survive. So sometimes I had to sneak out, you know, this paripa work. It's called people that serve in parties. Mm-hmm. So I'll just sneak out to go do like maybe weekend job and all of that. 500 that I have in my pocket just to, you know, eat and just keep, you know, pushing. So it was all the experiences was really, I'm like, no, something just has to change. When I started playing football fully, my coach was like, Rash, you need to leave other sports that you're doing, because I was doing roller skating, and that was also a means for survival for me, in as much as even that hobby. Mm-hmm. And I love to skate, but it was like, no, you have to leave roller skating and you have to face football fully because you're good at it. So why not just? But I also have a fear of, I don't like to beg, because my mom also, they didn't train us to beg. So it's whatever they give us at home, that we eat. We would never go to another neighbor's house to say we are hungry, or we'll not see something in the hands of another man's child to say, yeah, another family to say, oh, we're craving for this. No, yeah, it's like Gary we have at home, we all drink it, we'll all be happy. If it's our white and black TV we have at home to watch, yeah, we'll watch it. So that contentment factor was there. So first I play football, I'm like, ah, coach, I can't beg anybody, because I've seen even young girls around me how they use their body to survive.
Yeah.
And we're not trained that way. Yes. And for me, like, it's not even ever in my agenda too, because I just have this narrow vision of something must change about this family. Yeah. Whoever is going to change the relationship, I don't know. Yeah. But I will just, you know, keep doing what I think I could do. Because I knew also God factor, God grace also played a very huge factor, yeah, in all of these things, because it's not, honestly not easy to come out from that environment that I came out from, mm-hmm, with that disciplined mindset.
Yeah.
Now it's not like maybe there's somebody behind me instilling it in me. Yeah. I think it's, you know, it's just God's grace and God's factor. Like God, he has a purpose,
yeah,
or he has a mission, you know, for me. So I started, you know, when then, as I kept moving, you know, in football, I just felt like something has to change. I had to keep working on either going to school. And of course, the club that I was playing for, they also want us to go to school.
Okay.
Though. So, but.
And this is a Nigerian
club. It's a Nigerian club, Zef Srubo.
Okay.
Yeah. So they also want us to go to school. And I mean, but if you don't have the money to go to school, it's also, but they'll try to advocate too, in their own way too. Anyway, so I started going to, I tried to finish my school, and I started my diploma as well in accounting before I finally traveled. I had my first professional contract in Nigeria, out of Nigeria.
Okay.
So when I had that professional contract to Norway, that was also when the break also came for me mentally. Ooh. Because I remember that I noticed that I've been stuck in an ecosystem that,
yes,
it wasn't helping me,
yes,
to move.
Yes.
So because I knew there was more,
yeah,
there was a lot to my mindset, but people around me could not relate or see what I see. Because even when you try to tell them this is going on, like, what is going this on? Are you okay or something? No. But we're not in the same, I don't know, maybe it's just a personal thing for me. So remember, I just went to that place. I didn't even know. I left Nigeria depressed. I left Nigeria sad. Yeah, because I wasn't happy. I was through injuries that time when I had my professional contract. A lot happened personally. It's not something I could share. And that was also the turning point of where I had my personal experience with Christ.
Wow.
So as I break free from that environment, I'm like, okay. I started it was just a back and forth conversation with me and God. Like, God, I always said I wanted to die. Like, don't want to be football again. I want to be in Nigeria because I can't go back to Nigeria. Because first, my experience also in the club that I went to, from the weather and everything, my first time going to Norway. So
and it's quite
playing
cold
there. Yeah. So it was really a tough one. So it was really a tough one. So I told myself, like, I can't go back home. And just God has to help me. And a young girl, like at the age of 18, like, I can't, there's nobody, I don't really have somebody that can understand what I'm going, because there's one thing to have somebody that understand, you know, you,
yeah,
and we are. I mean, you can really, even if we tell them, because they're not playing football,
yeah,
they don't understand how the football, yeah, world works,
yeah,
they can't relate with you.
True.
They can only give you a word of advice, just, you know, but it's not, never the same. So all of those things during that time, so I'm like, I don't, because it got to a stage, I'm like, I just want to die. Like, let me just die. Like, let me be, I just be on the field and slump.
Wow.
And they just, or maybe I should just get injured because I don't want to participate, because I now wasn't liking what I was even my sport anymore.
Wow.
So I didn't know that it was depression until, you know, when I started, you know, like having this back and forth conversation with God. But then God was like, I don't know if it was God, because I can't say I've had, you know, but my mom took us to church. I knew church. I'm familiar with church and everything. But we still, because my dad is a Christian. My dad is a Muslim. My mom is a Christian. They're both from a Christian, Muslim background. But my mom converted according to stories,
yeah,
that she told us. So, yeah. So when I got to Norway, after all the whole experience that I had, I was like, God, I think it's only that I have that, because people that I even felt like were the closest in my life, that were like father to me and everything, like everything to me, they still do not understand what I was going through. And I'm not very familiar. Like, I've never read my Bible before, like read, only pray. And my mom just read Bible when we are sitting and we just listen. And only the verses that she reads, what we memorize sometimes. And also, I'm familiar with the Quran. You know, and we pray like a Muslim practicing Muslims. But there's just something missing. There's just something missing that I feel like I need to connect to something more than me. Like there's a vacuum.
Yeah.
There's a vacuum.
Deeper.
Yeah. So I couldn't figure it out. I didn't understand what it means. So the only option of me was like, I just want to die. Like, let me just, you know, just give up because I don't get it. When people can, you don't even have people that really understand you or you can't even, because even people that you think they understand, you can't even, some people that knows you can't even tell them what is going on. And some things are too much because some things are very deep that you can't even share based on personal experience and based on maybe people that are around or people that are involved, that is my implicate and all of that. So we're like, okay, we're just going to keep this because this is just me and this is my baggage that I have to carry. So there it's all about, okay, who is now going to help? Then I have a Bible there, and actually I have a friend now. One friend calls me like, okay, can you just try and read your Bible? You know, can you pray? Can you just, you know, listen to some music, like Christian music and all of that? Maybe it's going to help you and all. So, I mean, all of this thing doesn't, at that moment, doesn't really work for me. So, but it's not like, God, what is really the problem? Like, how can I break from it? Like, I'm really dying and I'm here and I don't want to remain the same person.
Yeah.
Because I only signed 2 years contract and the only thing that I have is, if I don't make it here, the next step is going to be very difficult. So I need to make a step. I need to make a mark here. So my next step, I can move to the next level. So it's a point of where I didn't know how God came through. I was just, you know, praying, but something kept talking to me that said, telling me that. It was like, reveal me, show me.
Wow.
You know, show me. Because I've been battling with it. We're like, okay, now I'm not a Christian, and I can't still show it to the world that I'm a Christian.
Well, how did the salvation part come in? Did somebody lead you to Christ, or you led yourself to Christ?
And as I mentioned to you, my mom usually takes us to church.
Yes.
So we had like an experience with, you know, going to some days when we're growing up. My mom is an MFM member, so she's a person that she said, Rash Mabo. Yeah, let's go to church today. Okay, we're fasting 3 days. Nobody's eating. Like, oh God, okay, no problem. She's supposed to, let's go together. You know, so, you know, MFM with deliverance, whatever program. So we're always going there to like, you know, fast and pray. I don't understand. I mean, I don't even understand how God even gave me that strength as a young girl that time. Like, or some days I'm like, or maybe I was like, I have a dream. I don't really release most of these things to my mom. But anything that makes me come home or something, maybe whatever, she just, let's go and prayer today, or let's go to church today, or let's do this today. And honestly, that was one biggest gift that my mom gave me. I didn't understand until when I grew to this, you know, where I am today, and I started understanding, the value and the impact and that role she has played in my life. So, yeah, sometimes you just go fast for like 2-3 days. You must go from my family 3 days. If it's not 3 days, you're joking. You're just joking. It's dry fasting. It's dry fasting, no food for the first two, 3 days.
Yeah.
So, I think I'm lost now. What was that before?
Yes, the salvation.
Okay, yeah, so the salvation experience. So, it was, honestly, I don't know. I think one really stood out was one day. It's a personal thing. And that's, I'm really, really scared to share this, you know. So, but I only just share where the whole this thing, but what I saw personally, I wouldn't say it. So after what I saw, the dream I had, and the whole thing.
You had a dream.
Yeah, I had a dream. Yeah, I had a dream that I knew was very clear to me. So after that time, then I started looking at my Bible more. And there was something that I would not be going through, that I would not see what is really happening with me, you know, in God's word. And I would still be hiding. Like, I can't really show people. Why would I carry Bible? I still carry Quran, you know? But over time, you know, when that happened, they say, clear everything away from you. Your math, your Quran, you know, everything. I cleared everything away. Anything that does not look like me, take it away from you. So I started doing that sanitation spiritually, you know. So at the moment, those things, I didn't tell anybody. This was just me, and this was just my personal experience with God. And all my music and everything, just clear everything away. I started listening to gospel music. I started doing what, you know, God showed me how I should praise, how I should, you know, thank Him, and how I should praise Him and everything. So all of these things was just where I started, but I was still hiding. Like, God, I can't, I'm not sure that. I would like to let people know that. No. Like, it was a battle for like months.
Wow.
Or almost, yeah, I think that's 1 year. It was a battle for 1 year. Yeah. Like, I can't do, no, Lord. I don't mean that. I mean that when I go to camp, I'm either praying for them in Islamic, you know, whatever. No, I can't do. Like, no, you have to show me. When you show me, I will show myself. So I didn't really understand. Like, just let men see me. So when men see me, they don't hide it. So when I now, okay, I didn't know what happened one day. I don't know if you see one video of when it was Ramadan, whatever, I posted, what that, like 18 years, almost 2017, 2018. That was my last video on, you know, when I was a real Muslim and all that. So when all this experience started happening to me, then I said, like, God, how am I going to do it? I said, you know, before them, like, Alhamdulillah, like, okay, thank God. You know, you say thank God. I can't say Jesus and all of that. I'm like, no, now. You want people to say, okay, let me just start with thank God. So even if you thank God, nobody understand where, even if it's, you know, God is general, you know, any religion will say God and everything. Like, no, but there's just something that is always like inside of me saying, no. No, no, no. This is not what I want. And I still feel that emptiness inside of me. I still don't have that fulfillment. Mm. So, but over time, what started opening me up to information, because I didn't know that I was afraid of God. You know, that information transformation started happening. It started opening me up to information that was not helping me to also heal. Because you know that it's not just him alone that could help me heal, but for the information that I would resonate with, that would also help me read. So first, I stumbled on a course, on a free course on, I can't remember the site, on depression, anxiety, and cognitive behavioral therapy. So when it's a 1 month course, I read it, I'm like, so I was not seeing all the symptoms I was exhibiting. Mm-hmm. Like, so this is what was wrong with me. Because I didn't know how God worked that process, to be honest. Because sometimes you feel like maybe everything, of course, everything is prayer. But there's also information that, you know, there are some things that God will want to tell you that he would like to speak to you in the language or in a way that you understand. So when the information started happening, then that healing started coming as well.
Wow.
So the healing started coming. I started, okay, getting back to my normal self. I started liking what I love to do. I started, you know, getting, you know, doing what, you know, what I got told in my closet to do, you know, praising him, you know, praying the way he wants me to pray. Then as I started feeling that healing, that freedom came to me. So the moment I had that freedom, then there was a mental shift. That hunger now, that spike up more. Like, I want to be better. Wow. I want to know more. I want to just, you know, be woo, you know. So I started learning that the learning curves that started growing. I'm like, okay, now what level, what step am I now? This time, okay, next year I have to leave this globe and I don't want to resign in this globe and I have to make sure I make my mark before I leave this thing. So it now becomes, I started trying to look for how to invest in myself. Yeah. I started learning because I knew I didn't have the opportunity to do that growing up. Yeah. And because my foundation of my family did not give me that opportunity, doesn't mean that my foundation or my whatever should define my future.
True. So my background does not mean my back should be
on the ground. Exactly, sir. So and then the mental, whatever, just that freedom just came and I get closer, I got more. And they're like, just show me. When you reveal me, I will show myself more. It's not about you, it's all about me.
Yeah.
So it also just those words of affirmations. And
was that why you started reading scriptures?
No, this was even later on.
Wow.
So this was even later on. So later on, I was already in Atletico Madrid.
Okay.
So now I'm now very big on my Bible. I study my Bible a lot. Like, I try to read my Bible. All my music, I don't listen to any music, because I'm gospel music. So I was just trying to, you know, make sure I create a system around me that helped me stay grounded in my spiritual life. And of course, every other aspect of my life as well. So the Bible part now came in. I was just, you know, sometimes I finish reading or whatever. I'm just sitting on my bed meditating. And I just say in my spirit, okay, do this to my people. You know, just do like this. Do this way. So now that was where the Bible inspiration comes from. Because sometimes I sit down and I'm like, God, oh, I hope it's not all about me. I hope it's not about trend or anything. Because I try to sit down and look, wait, is it for, are you really doing this thing for God? Or is it because just some people call, to call you Mommy Joe, G-O, or, no, so because I try to sit down and prune myself and I tell God, God, please prune my heart. Because to be honest, that's always my daily outcry. Like, God, just prune my heart. Like, check me. If there's anything that you feel like it's not self-glorification, please take it away. Because I just don't want to be on that part of say is because, oh no, you want them to see you. And it was me, I'm not even perfect. Like my flaws are just too much. If you get closer to me, you know that. I'm a mess of myself. It's just God that is helping me. So
Well, you've come a long way. You've come a long way. You know, you've come a long way. And one of the things that I tell people, I say that the biggest need that anybody needs is hunger. Because that's the one thing nobody can give you. You know, if you meet a mentor today, a mentor can't give you hunger. If you're from a rich home, your father can't give you hunger. You know, you just have to have that. And once that part is there, hunger for God, hunger to be better, hunger to be a different person part time. And I think that's the biggest, because that also give a huge level of contentment, a huge level of peace of mind, happiness with oneself.
Absolutely.
You know, but I'm curious how you got to learn to speak Spanish.
Yeah, but I stayed in Spain for 4 years, so
that's too short to learn.
Yeah, but actually we have classes, okay. And so it's a class a week, so it's just like 1 hour class a week. So sometimes for 3-4 months we don't even have the class at all.
Wow.
So it's just, because one thing is the
is it a gift? Are you good with language? Do you think you're good with language?
No. It's because I was also intentional about learning. So the fact that, because what they even teach us is not, honestly not enough. Yeah. For us to understand, because in the end, you need to learn on the street. You need to mix up with people. But one thing is, if you need to connect with people, the place where you are, because when you go to a place, I think when we go to a place, you need to also connect with those people. And the only way you can connect with them more is to also, you know, get to speak their language, get to know their language. It gives you, you know, advantage, gives you leverage where, you know, they are, just to show that, yeah, we're part of you. We love you. And, you know, I mean, it's where I work as well. And if you don't even try to, if you don't learn it, you're going to be stuck. Mm-hmm. So because you don't want to be stuck, and you also you want to show that, yeah, I want to connect with those people because this is where I earn my, this is where I make my living. So you just have to, you know, be at just, you know, infuse myself, invest myself there to make sure. And also just open my mind, because when I was in Norway, you know, it was just, that moment was a moment of transformation, rebirthing for me, redefining for me. So yeah, God really took me through, you know, a lot of things that, it's not something that we could capture here while we're talking.
Did you join the Super Eagle from Norway? Or?
No, I've been on the Super Eagle. I've been on Super Falcons. I've been on the national team from 2013, 2014. And then I was still in F2. So I was around 13 years or 14.
17.
Yes.
So you grew from...
No, it was my growth was, you know, has a structure process. Yeah, yeah. So I played twice in under 17. I played twice in under 20. And now I'm a Super Falcons.
Wow.
So
when you look at female football, I mean, is it as rewarding as male football?
No, it's not as rewarding as male football. When you look at, it depends on the context we're trying to talk about. But the reward part of it, honestly, is just
financial
rewards, the economic. Yeah, so it's never rewards. It's not even close.
Did they tell you the reason why? Is it because people don't watch you guys as much as they watch the male? Maybe the team don't make as much money?
Oh, you mean on the national team or generally?
Yeah.
Well, to be honest, it's the narrative is changing compared to like 10, 12 years ago.
True.
So every year there is always an improvement, and which I appreciate that. But it's still, the gap is still really wide from the men's football. So I think most of the issues that it's centered around, why this is still happening, why this is still, you know, still not yet, it's still not where it has to be.
Yeah.
But in the end, it can't even be in a place. It's still, the growth has to be continuous. So the reason why it's still where it is right now is, you know, when we talk about, you know, sponsorship, investment, getting people to, you know, talk about women's football, people being intentional around about, you know, talking about women's football more, you know, and also, you know, more coverage of women's football, or there's not that visibility around women's football. And if we look at maybe the first of Nigeria, we had to, you know, we don't really prioritize our own. Even Nigerian league, we don't even prioritize our own. Mm. People only talk about Chelsea, Man U. Mm. If you go to schools now, people, even Nigeria, nobody's talking about Ayimba. So we have to be intentional about our own league. Because one thing I learned also As I was chatting with you also in Morocco when I went there, because honestly, I learned a lot from Morocco when I went there, because we saw, I engaged in conversation with one or two, three people in different fields. Yeah. So I went to pick up something from the customs, from the custom office, and we were just having conversation with having dialogue. And I said, three things is my identity, our identity in this country.
In Morocco.
He said, Morocco. He said, their name, I mean, their surname, their identity, and he said, their country.
Wow.
And the club that is playing here. I'm like, why is one of the clubs your identity here? And he said, I think one more thing. Okay, no. Their name, their name, their country,
yes.
their religion. Their religion is a thought.
Yes.
And is their identity.
Yes.
And he said, the fourth one is their club. Wow. I'm like, why is the club
part of? Football club.
Their football club. I'm like, no, why not Chelsea? And so, no, he said, their home here is priority, number one.
Wow.
Their league here, their leagues here is priority. So those ones, Chelsea, whatever, they are secondary. Any other European league or any league any across the world is a secondary. I'm like, oh, really? And also, you say, you know, saying also, Morocco, their country, and their religion, which is the third thing, which is their identity. I'm like, he didn't take religion first. You know, then I'm like, and I was sad, I'm like, wait.
That's powerful.
Yeah, it didn't take religion. That's some Nigerians, you know.
One.
Yeah, like Africa. With the, I mean, Nigerian personally.
Yes.
Me, if I would tell, my religion is my identity. You know, that kind of thing. They're realistic. They're so realistic about what they do. Because if you look at the development and everything happening there, it's not about religion.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So it just opened my mind up to like, oh, so if your club, okay, talking about the club, whatever. So club is part of your identity.
Yes.
So you don't even prioritize all this, because in Nigeria, I don't think any of the
Arsenal.
Arsenal. We're a Chelsea fan. Yeah. Or whatever. And there's no way, because these people are already making their waves over there. So there's no way our own can grow if we're not really intentional about pushing it ourselves. Honestly, we are all we have. Nobody knows the Imba in any other African. Nobody knows any other movie stars in any other African country. But we know all of the league clubs, and even clubs that are not. Of course, we know that we have players from Nigeria playing in this zone. But Nigeria has produced a whole lot of talent that has to have its own recognition.
Very true.
So it has to come back to ourselves. We as a citizens, we the sport lovers. People, we know we have to, because there's a lot of investment, there's a lot of business opportunities, there are a lot of even job opportunities that we created through ordinary the sports environment. This, yeah. So why are we...
Was that why the Moroccans were using laser on you people? Was that even true that they use laser?
I know they use laser, actually. But I won't say maybe this is the reason why. In the end, these people love their country. They will do anything to win.
But did the laser affected you guys?
We already had the experience before.
Okay.
In 2022,
yeah,
why we lost against them in the semifinals. So last since the last one, so we were prepared. We knew that the fans were playing against Morocco, were playing against everything,
all of the country.
So we're playing against all of the country. We're playing against all their strategies and everything. So mentally, we are ready.
Wow.
So physically, we're also ready. So whatever is coming up.
But what do you think happened the first half that you guys didn't play well?
Football sometimes, you know, when God wants to perform miracles, he won't do it the easy way. He won't do it the way you think it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, but also, of course, also looking at it from a physical aspect, I mean, this is just football. Football, anything happens. We just have to be, you know, because you're in the finals, you have to be more technical, you're more tactical, you have to be more intelligent. Any mistake can cost you. So you don't want to make sure. So when you make those mistakes, you'll be punished for it. So that was what happened with us. Because in the first 5-10 minutes, we're like pressing. We lost our back and pressure comes and there goes. We make a mistake, a player get up. So you don't want to make those kind of mistakes. You must be as tidy as possible, because, you know, it's just a 90-minute game, and imagine game. When you're losing, it goes as fast as, you know, I think that 90-minute game that used to be 90 becomes like almost 10 minutes, you know. So, so we... Mistake happens. Football happens.
And then you won.
Yeah, we won. So it doesn't have to. I think, you know, there's just a lot of lessons also to learn from that. So if it doesn't happen that way, and also that experience itself shows, you know, also shows what we are going through in Nigeria as a nation, you know.
There is hope.
Don't give up. Just keep pushing. You can lose half time, but
there's enough time to
it's just all about you. Sit up, you know. Yeah. Get your minds together, you know, put your minds together, you know, push yourself to.
How did you and your team feel when the president announced $100,000, 3-bedroom flats? The Nigerian governors also were going to be adding $10 million, which also I want to know, you know, have they released it? When are they releasing money for you guys?
But, you know, this right now, we're happy about it first. Yeah. We're excited because it's life-changing for us. Mm-hmm. And it's a lifetime opportunity, mm-hmm. you know, and I mean, it's just a transformation for ourselves, for our family, you know, being hosted in yeah. that kind of environment. Mm-hmm. Most of all, look at where I came from my story.
From Mushin. To Aso Rock. From Mushin to Aso Rock.
You know, walking on the street and now yeah. going to that place, even being there alone.
That's true.
It's a story.
Yeah.
This day alone, it's you know, it's powerful. It is. So it's now talk of being compensated and being rewarded. You know? So it just goes, it's beyond me. It's beyond all of us. The only thing we can just say is God will thank you. You know, just being grateful for this. When they release it, we don't know. But I know that it has gone to the hair. The Baba have said it. Baba will do it. No.
You know, but some people are concerned about how, you know, the government make these promises. And I mean, even the one of, was it Sunday Lisa said, you know, was just released, was it by Buhari administration? You know, and that was like after 30 years or something. So we're hoping that Mr. President, we hope that this one will be released. You know, but my own girl is involved. I beg.
We've got a lot of assurance that yeah. it's going to be released. That Baba say and he do. So yeah. we believe and yeah, everything's going to work well.
I hope so and we hope so. As we begin to wrap up, you know, looking at your life and to a young girl watching you right now, who you're such an inspiration to and probably it's even in Mushi, and it's probably using somebody's data to watch this, you know, episode. What is your message to that young girl?
I mean, first, I feel privileged that I'm here to, you know, have opportunities to even advise, because me, that young girl, like, I'm not here advising people. It's good enough, great to be faithful. Yeah. So, like, I'm grateful to God, but to every young girl that will have opportunity to see this, I mean, don't think of becoming Rashida Ajibade. It's good to have reference. You're good. But sometimes when you have reference, but sometimes it might push you to even not even appreciate the effort you're making.
True.
So, but first, be you, be yourself, because there's something that God has invested in each and every one of us that you're to become, that also be a blessing to you and to your generation.
True.
Because every talent that God has given us, it's not just for you alone.
Yeah.
It's for yourself, the people around you, and to bring glory to Him. Because that's I can remember, you know, it's biblical.
Mm.
It's there. But when I remember that, I was saying the scriptures to Caesar. So yeah, to every young girl looking, just be you. It's something God has invested in you. Search for it, find it, work on it, refine it, and there is hope. Never give up. Whatever you're going through right now, it might be tough. My own story was because I sat down sometimes like, God, why do I have to go through what I went through? But now I'm not realizing why.
That's what makes your story sweet.
To go through what I went through.
Yes, that's why it's inspiring.
Yeah, so I now realize why I had to. Because if sometimes God doesn't have hands in it, maybe it would have killed me.
Mm.
But because God has hand in it, and that was why He sustained me and gave me the capacity to go through all of those things. You know, you don't have to use a body. You don't have to compromise to make it. Just put your heart, put your mind, put God at the center of everything you do. Because for me, I usually say something that success is achievable while putting your hope and trust in God. Because this day, there is a kind of thing that is pushed out there that you need to be this way. You need to bend like this. You need to bend. But me, this girl that God has helped here. God helped me, to be honest. God helped me. Only if I could tell some kind of personal and deep stories, some things that we've been around before. But God helped me. I can only say that. But God is still in the business of helping people.
Yeah.
You know, just stay true to Him. come closer. It needs you. The only person who can help you bring that best in you is still Him. There are people around you that God has also destined. But if you don't connect to the source, it won't take you, it won't also bring you closer or open your eyes to see those people that you need. You need for your talent to be somebody like me or somebody like Dr. Steven now. Like you, I didn't just know you accidentally.
Yeah.
I prayed my way to knowing you, to meeting people like you. You know, and of course, there's my own personal factor of, okay, as far as God has done His part, yeah, I also have to do my own diligent part. Sure. You know, to, when you say something, all right, okay, when you want to get close to that mentor, like, you're giving that advice. You didn't know that that was the first way. My God, yeah, people didn't know that. But also trying to, practice, those things that you learn. You know, when you listen to something, there are a lot of resources out there that are very helpful and useful to you. You know, the kind of things you consume. There are a lot of, when I listen to people like you, Dr. Steven, Jim Rohn, a lot of valuable information out there that you can consume your data on that will help you build your brain, your mind to become that person who you will become. And one thing that I learned from me again today that I will tell them, you said, let me check my book.
Let's write it.
I have to. You said you can use content and data. Okay, that you can use content and depth to replace luxury. So that means, based on how we explain that, brought us to all of this, is sometimes the world wants you to show yourself in a certain way for you to be approved.
Yes.
You don't need to do some of those things. You don't need people's approval. Because one, you're important, you're valuable, and God has created you perfectly well that He has instilled greatness inside of you.
Come on.
So, but the thing is just now refine that greatness, be intentional around it, stay committed to it, be disciplined. Over time, it will appreciate. Mm-hmm. So, fill yourself with that depth. The moment you carry something inside of you, then it is easy. When you appear in a place, then it will give you access to that place where you want to be, instead of waiting to appear in a place with luxury without content and depth. So that's my little thing from Dr. Steven and I. See you guys, and I hope that this helps and bless somebody out there.
My final question, so we can go for lunch. I'm hungry. I hope you're hungry too.
Yeah, right.
Will be why should, you have been able, you're an example that mentorship matters and plays a major role. For somebody watching this and, will say, first of all, I'm not sure I need a mentor. Can you tell them why they do? And for somebody who is also, not sure how to attract a mentor, how to even know who is the right mentor for them. Can you share your own journey on how you attracted someone like me?
First question, I think I would advise anyone out there that mentorship is great. First, from the biblical standpoint, we see the like of Jesus. Jesus also has mentors. He had to sit in the feet of elders to learn.
Yeah.
They were learning, they were teaching him. They were mentoring him. But look like of Moses. These are leaders. These are people God used. But if he didn't have the mentorship of people like Jethro, he would have made mistake and killed himself, thinking that even when God even appeared to him but he needed a mentor. Mentors. So there are people like that in the biblical reference that without mentorship, their journey would have, crashed. So and these people have gone ahead of you. They know more than you. They help you compress time. So, and there are some places that you cannot go that they already would have been there. You get access through those people. Aside from the access, whatever part. But the knowledge, the wealth of knowledge you will get that will help you reinvent yourself, it's just, you can't trade it for anything. It's more than money. The ideas you will get is more than money. It will even help you to build your own generational wealth, only if you know how to take advantage of these opportunities. So mentorship is key. You want to compress your time. Instead of you going through, if you use 10 years to run some business or 20 years to run business, you want to start, don't go through that stress. So why not get in touch with people that have gone ahead of you? They can show you the way. Because I don't even know why people don't talk about mentorship. When you go to school, I think people usually have a course advisor or, all of these places. Yeah. So when it comes to businesses, because I told myself personally that I want to grow and I'm intentional about my growth because this is one big area that I think, because I know that as well, there's much more for me to achieve.
Sure.
I need also informations and, you know, people that can help me, support me to achieve this, you know, vision that God has, you know, placed in me. So I feel like I'm going to grow in areas of my life when it comes to marriage, when it comes to finance, when it comes to spiritual, whatever. Like, I need to get people around those areas that would also help me grow and be better in this area. Then for people, somebody who doesn't, who wants to, and there is the importance of, you know, having a mentorship is what I've just said. And for somebody who's looking for, how do I go? How do I start looking for mentorship? And how, from my own personal experience, you pray your way into them. You pray your way into it sometimes, because sometimes you need to first know what you want.
Yeah.
When you know what you want, then how to now get it is, you know, praying your way into it, understanding the place of, you know, this, because it depends on your values. It depends on your kind of, you need to know your value when you, and that becomes a place of knowing yourself, know your values, know the kind of things you want to attract from a mentor, know the kind of things you want to also portray out there. And I mean, so it depends. Because someone like me, when I was looking for a mentor, like somebody who is very impactful.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not also bad if I have somebody that I want full package. That was my hair. So I say, well, because the Bible says, say, the greatest thing shall be, ask and shall be given unto you. So I said, I want a full package.
Yeah.
So, you know, somebody who is, you know, spiritually grounded, somebody who is, has integrity, somebody who has impact, you know, somebody who also, you know, people person.
Yeah.
You know, somebody who is, who put himself into, who is also, you know, who is into leadership and all of that. So those are the things I was looking for in a person. Somebody who is selfless.
Yeah.
Who think about pouring into people. Mm. You know, and they are not, somebody also that, I mean, I don't mind if they have pride, but you want somebody with humility, that just, you know, that have this whole, that is grounded in this, you know, whole area, that is holistically built. You can't have a perfect person, but this is my own request. And to be honest, I see it in people like you, and I'm like, wow. So first, when I know those things that I want, I'm like, God, how do I start doing this? You know, how do I go through? So sometimes, in the place of this, you know, the Holy Spirit works sometimes. You're scrolling on Instagram. You just see something that resonates. You're like, I'm just clicked there. Yes. And you're just listening to it. The next day again, you know, you just get that. There's a connection that happens that you just don't even know how to explain it. Because that was what happened with me and Dr. Steven. I'm like, wow. And it's just something that was just buried. I would just hold your spirit. Like, no, you just talk into your heart. Like, no, this is the right person. So first, pray your way into, know yourself, know what you want. Then the second thing is pray your way into it. Then God can open your eyes to see the right person. Because sometimes, you know, Mary, there's one of the mentorship classes, during one of the mentorship classes, we said it. And sometimes the people that God will use for you might not have the whole values that you're looking for. Yeah. Some of you may not even be the same religion. Yeah. It might not be the same belief or whatever.
Yeah.
But they have what you need.
Mm. In a particular aspect.
In a particular aspect. So, in particular aspect. So sometimes you've got to open your eyes. Like, okay, yeah, these people, you need them. So you need the knowledge that they carry.
Mm.
I mean, Jethro, we didn't see where God was like saying he's like very, very. There wasn't.
Jethro was not a Jew.
Yeah. So we didn't really see that so much. But he carried a wealth of knowledge that Moses needed to save him.
True.
So in spite of the fact that Moses was spiritually built and, you know, God, he saw God face to face.
Yes.
So, all this, you know, so first you need just to pray away and say it.
That's a deep revelation that you could see God face to face and God may still not share some things with you. It's because one would have expected God to have said, Moses, you can't be leading these people alone. Appoint 70 elders. God didn't tell him that.
So I was very surprised. I was stuck in that Bible verse. So, like, I was during the moment of your conference that I stumbled on that Bible verse and I didn't understand. I was like, I called my pastor friends. I'm like, but why did God? Like, was it so God?
Face to face. I go club, say, hey, you will die like this. So put it this way. God didn't tell him. He was an unbeliever in quotes, based on the kind of religion Moses practiced.
Yeah.
Jethro wasn't a believer.
Yeah.
You know, of that religion.
Yeah.
And that was the person God used.
Yeah, honestly, that Bible, but I think it was in, I don't know if it's Exodus or something. It really taught me a lot about, you know, leadership, mentorship, you know, understanding how to even lead and all of that. There was a lot of lessons learned from it. And I was just, you know, very grateful about. So mentorship is key. And for somebody who's looking forward to just, you know, looking for how do I start? So the moment you now find one, after knowing your value, putting your way into it, when to find one, just, what I would say is, you know, key into it, you know, stay committed to it, connect to them more. There are a lot of valuable information to share on how to, you know, attract mentorship and all. go to his YouTube page, search, listen, stay committed. Sometimes it will cost you data.
Yeah.
Data that you don't even have sometimes, but it's an investment in your spirit. The moment when it will start appreciating, you even be surprised. There are so many things that information that I stumbled on, I didn't understand I need them today.
Yeah.
But when I now got to start, I'm like, wow, it's a blessing. So there's no knowledge that's ever a waste. So these are just those three things that I think.
Amazing.
A person can do.
Okay, so these are a fashion company. What do you think? How much do we tell you guys? Right?
No, there's no even price tag to this kind of brand. There's no price tag. If you want to put price tag to it, it's going to be,
Look at us.
Because it's divine.
It is.
It's anointed. So it's beyond what you just wear. Aside from we just glowing physically, spiritually, you are being edified. It carries glory, sir.
It carries anointing.
So
for information, we're starting a fashion brand called the Jesus brand. And you're going to be seeing a lot of designs. I mean, we could sell his sneakers that was just, instead of Nike or whatever, just Jesus. Jesus is the biggest logo. It's the biggest brand.
Yeah.
You know, and we're going to do a good job by the grace of God, such that you as a believer can rock it and be proud of it. So watch out for that.
I mean, not just believers alone.
Yes.
Anybody,
I like that
because as you know, because it also carries salvation. Because by the time you wear it,
that's true.
So anybody can rock it. Like what you said, you're wearing more than you're wearing essence.
Yes. Because I mean, just a question mark means nothing. V means nothing, but this one means something. This is powerful. Well. We started marketing you already, Mama.
Thank you so
much. See you next episode, ladies and gentlemen, of the Leadership Podcast. I can go on and on with Raj, but we have to go. Thank you for coming.
Thank you so much,
I appreciate it. Congratulations one more time.
Thank you very much, sir.
Guys, see you on next episode. I remain Stephen Akintayo. God bless you. Bye-bye.